Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. Praise God. I believe you're going to be stirred and blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's my prayer. When we come together and we are in the spirit of one accord and agreement, the Lord inhabits the unity of His people. He's whoever two or three are gathered in my name. Behold, I'm there in the midst. And even though miles may separate us, even though this is just through the vehicle of a radio broadcast, I believe in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can do a work in your heart, in my heart, as we focus on the Lord, as we believe Him to accomplish what He desires to in our lives. Now, we have been sharing this week on able ministers of the new covenant. That's what you and I are. God has given us the ability to represent Him. In Jeremiah, He said He would put His laws in our heart, He would write them on our inward parts, and He would be to us a God, and we would be to Him a people. He was, of course, also referring literally to Israel, but we are spiritual Israel. The church has been joined, and we are one new man in Christ, Jew and Gentile. Praise the Lord. And I just feel a great stirring in my spirit that God in these days is going to anoint the members of His body, not just the ones that are prominent and visible, but the least comely. The Word says we bestow on them even greater honor. And from the least to the greatest, God is going to set apart His people to do the works that He has called us to do, to be a living example by our lives, by our words, by our attitudes. People are going to know that we are different. In fact, there's that saying, you know, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. It's because our light needs to shine in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials that we would be going through. Those who would know us, they will see how we are able to go through the troubled times, go through the crisis, go through the tragedies, because our God is with us, and He will deliver us out of the many afflictions that we experience in this world. It's not an easy thing to live in this world. We are in warfare, and that's why the Lord counsels us in His Word that we should be clothed with the very armor of God. But beloved, the Word of God is the foundation for every believer. The Word of God is the foundation of this ministry. That's our slogan, the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God's Word is living, it's active, it's energetic, it's full of life, full of power in action. The Logos of God is a living thing. And then another key scripture that's very important is found in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, which clearly declares all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and instruction in righteousness. For what reason? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that term man of God is just generic. It refers to every believer. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, nor Jew nor Greek. Now, it says that scripture is given by inspiration of God. That Greek word for inspiration means divinely breathed, and the derivative of the root, pneo, pneo, to breathe hard or to blow. And so, beloved, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 2, we are to be inspired. We are to be enthusiastic. Paul says in that particular verse, ye are our epistles. He was saying that to the Corinthians. You are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament. Note, it's not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is very specific. John says in his Gospel, 16:8, when he is come, these are the words of Jesus, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And beloved, you and I have the marvelous resource of the Holy Spirit, that we can operate in his Spirit. We can be sensitive to his leading, to his guidance. And sometimes it might come just as a gentle thought. It's not a loud, resounding voice from heaven, but it's in the quietness of our spirit that God speaks to us. Remember Elijah? I mean, after he fled from Jezebel, he was in the cave, he was ready to die. He said, you know, I'm not better than my father's, Lord, just, you know, take me home, I'm ready to die. Of course, that was not God's plan for him at that point, but there was a powerful wind that rent the rocks. Can you imagine a wind that would be so powerful as to break rocks? There was an earthquake. There was a fire, but the Lord was in none of these. He was in the still, small voice. So the thoughts that come into our mind, the quiet voice we hear in our spirits, that's the Lord speaking to us. And we're to operate in his Spirit. There's a reference that is an incident, if you will, that's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 54. And at this point in the Gospel, Jesus was planning on entering into a village of the Samaritans, but they did not receive him. They wouldn't allow him to come in. And so, of course, the disciples were very angry. James and John said, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? And of course, that was a reference when Ahab was sending out groups of 50 to capture Elijah, and he called fire down out of heaven, and two or three of them were just consumed. And the final one says, Elijah, please have mercy, and don't do this to your servants. Don't cause the fire of God to fall. But so they were making a scriptural reference to something that had occurred in the ministry of Elijah. But it's interesting to see what Jesus did. He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And obviously, the disciples brought up Elijah, and we need to just look for a moment at the ministry of Elijah. He was a powerful prophet of God. He prayed, and there was a drought for 3 years. He prayed again, and the rain brought an end to that drought. Remember that one of the most spectacular events of his ministry on Mount Carmel, the 450 Baal prophets. He told them to just call out to their God. He had a sacrifice. They both had sacrifices of oxen that was on wood. There was a stone around it. And they worked all day to get their God to respond. Nothing happened. And Elijah said, let the God that be God, let him answer by fire. And God came down. It lapped up the water. He had drenched the sacrifice, drenched the wood. Nonetheless, the fire of God came down and ate up everything, including the stones. And the people cried out, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" It was obviously very dramatic. Obviously, after such a dramatic intervention of God, He expected a national revival, but instead there was increased opposition. His life was threatened by Jezebel. He was depressed. He was disappointed. He was discouraged. He probably had a sense of failure. Perhaps he was angry at God. Whatever. He went away into a cave. And of course, as I mentioned, there was the wind, the earthquake, the fire. They were all of those powerful symbols are used of the Lord in Scripture to represent His presence and His power, as well as His holiness. But beloved, what can we learn from this? Obviously, it's not the spectacular or the miraculous. That's not enough to convince man. Only the real conversion in the Spirit within man, that Spirit within a man responding to God's Spirit, that still small voice, that will convince someone. Remember the situation with Lazarus? He died, and there was the rich man in hell, and he called out and he said, "You know, let someone of my brothers be warned." And Jesus' comment, he said, "If they will not believe Moses and the prophets, they would not believe though one came back from the dead." And so, beloved, we see that Elijah's ministry of power, when Elisha came to take over after Elijah was translated, it heralds a new dispensation of God's dealings. And we're going to look at that tomorrow. So I'm going to stop right now, and with the Lord's help, we'll conclude this message on the double portion. Is that what you want? That's what I want. Amen. But at this moment, I'd like to share with you that I'm privileged to stand with you in prayer, whatever your needs might be. You don't have to write a lot. Your letters are confidential. And when I receive them, I will pray for you and send back whatever the Lord gives to be a blessing. The announcer will give our contact information in just a moment. Thank you so much for joining me. I so look forward to our next time together. And until then, God bless you. I love you. And this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,